Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, Galatians chapter 5. You're going to find Galatians right behind 2 Corinthians, 1st, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, 5th chapter. We've been in a series for the past few weeks dealing with the rhythm of your life, the rhythm of your life. And I know you might have thought this was a dance class or music class, but if it was, I'm definitely not your instructor. I might be the example of what not to do. I had a few people say that I can sing, and I think I just have moments where just in that moment it sounded right, you know, and I always sound good in the shower, but can't take that public. But here's the deal. When you hear rhythm, what we're talking about is being in sync, being in harmony, being in agreement, being in line with the will of God. And we're challenging ourselves with three questions. And if you're just tuning into the program or this is your first service at Word of God, we're really looking at three questions throughout this series. Number one, do I have peace with God? Number two, do I have peace within? And then number three, do I have peace with man? Peace with God, peace within, and peace with man. And so, in a nutshell, that's what we've been talking about in this series dealing with the topic of rhythm. So we'll go to Galatians chapter 5. When you get there, just say amen, Galatians 5. This is my third service ministering this morning. And then that last service, for some reason, I don't know whether I was dehydrated or what, but my voice kind of got a little tweaked. And sometimes when you set your voice off, it doesn't want to come right back. And so intercede for me this morning, because it has nothing to do with the sound. It's just me that my voice is kind of feeling it in this third service this morning. So, but I'm glad to be preaching three services. I'll preach five if I got to. Amen. Y'all keep giving so we can build that new sanctuary and we can get us back in here at one time again. Amen. Hallelujah. So Galatians chapter 5, you there, say amen. And we'll look at it beginning in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Let's read verse 16 out loud together. Ready? Read. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In light of what we read, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. I pray now, Father, that Lord, you would bless all that would be under the sound of my voice, Lord, that we would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. Father, I ask now that you speak through me words that you would have spoken, that your Spirit would speak by me, that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever, as we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Keep your Bible handy and open. Being at Word of God without a Bible is like being on I-20 without a car. And if you don't have a Bible with you, but you got a smartphone, you can download a Bible app. And just tell folk, I'm not texting, I'm texting. I'm finding the text here, amen? In Galatians 5, we read this before the prayer, and I want to go back to verse number 16, Galatians 5, verse 16. It says this, say, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can I get you to read that verse one more time out loud with me? Verse number 16, ready? Read. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you see this word walk, the word walk here is actually referring to life, live in the Spirit. But I want you to highlight something. If you're one that takes notes or you're writing your Bible, maybe in the margin of your Bible, put next to this verse, Amos 3:3 says this. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can you say that out loud? Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which we dealt with a couple of weeks ago, talks about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. A yoke was used to harness two oxen to make them as one. And the word says, don't be unequally yoked, because you can't walk together if you're not in agreement, or if you're not in rhythm, or you're not in cadence, or you're not in harmony. And so ultimately, walking in the Spirit is to agree with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not this deep, spooky thing, oh, I'm in the Spirit. No, those people scare me. We need you to walk in the Spirit means I'm walking in line. I'm walking in harmony. I'm walking in rhythm with God, who according to Acts 17, it's in him I live, and in him I move, and in him I have my very being. God created us to walk in a relationship with him. You know, don't limit God. Don't lock him in a box and separate yourself, because God came to have a relationship with us, and Jesus is the avenue to that relationship with him. That's why in Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is called, one of his titles is the Prince of Peace. He reigns in peace. He gives us peace with God. That's why even at his birth in Luke chapter 2, they said, glory to God in the highest, goodwill and peace on earth. Man can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And in this series, we're dealing with three questions. Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace within? And do you have peace with man? Do you have peace in your world, in your circumstances? And that's really what we're going to deal with today, because there are a lot of people that have the misconception, the idea, that if I can get everything right externally in my life, if I can put out every fire and realign everybody's opinion about me and work all these issues out all around my life, then I will have peace within, and then I can have peace with God. And you will never get there if that's what you believe. If you think you can work everything out all around you and then have inner peace, you will never have inner peace, for one simple reason: you can't control folk. Bad English, but you know what I mean, right? And so I want us to see that God's called us to align our will with his and to have peace with him. And I want to show you examples in the Bible of what can happen in your life when you make that your priority. I'm going to be in rhythm with God. No matter what's going on around me, I choose to walk in rhythm with God. I want to show you an example, examples in the word on what can happen in your life when you do that. But let me wrap this up here in Galatians 5. So a walk in the Spirit means I agree with the Holy Spirit. Now you might be wondering, you know, how can I agree with the Holy Spirit? How can I agree with God? And I don't want to ever take anything for granted that you just, you know, have an understanding of this, that, or the other. And so I like to be elementary in teaching, and so that anybody can understand. John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So Jesus equated his word with his spirit. 1 John 5:7 says there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. That means God is in rhythm with his Spirit and with his Word. And the Word is in rhythm with God and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is in rhythm with God and the Word of God. There is not a lack of harmony when it comes to God the Father, his Spirit, and his Word. So when I walk in line with his Word, I'm walking in line with his Spirit. Ultimately, walking in the Spirit means I agree with God. I agree with the conviction that he gives me by his Spirit. I agree with his written word, no matter what's going on in my flesh. But how many of you know your flesh will contradict the Spirit of God? Have you ever experienced that in your life? Yes, right? Who hadn't? And so he says here in verse number 17 that there's this war going on between our spirit, or God's spirit, and our flesh. about, you know, when it comes to our walk, when it comes to our life. And our default nature is not walking in harmony with God. You do know that. You didn't come out of the womb in line with Jesus. Our default nature is not walking in harmony with the Spirit of God. You know, it's interesting. I hear saved folks say, I hear believers say quite often, "Ooh, Pastor, I almost got in the flesh." Listen, you've been in the flesh. It's just that you finally got in the spirit and something almost made you get out of your spirit walk. But it is natural for us to be fleshy. But you cannot walk in the flesh and be in rhythm with the Spirit of God because they are not in harmony with one with another. And so there are plenty of things that the enemy wants to use in our life to get us in cadence with our flesh, in rhythm with our flesh, in rhythm with this world, and out of sync and out of rhythm with God. And I want to show you the importance and examples of the power of what God can do in your life all around you when you begin to line up and get yourself in rhythm with Him, not worrying about all these things that are going on around you. There are too many people today that are living in anxiety because they are convinced they've got to work out every bad opinion. They've got to work out every report and whatever lie was told and what so-and-so said about me on Facebook, and I got to make a call and tell her that ain't the way it is. And we're trying to work all these things out all around us, things that are not even workable, thinking that if we could put out every fire and work out every situation, then we would have peace within, and you will never get there. And some of you have spent years trying, and you know that is not a possibility. But if you would ever just choose to, you know what? I can't control what folk are saying. I can't control what folk are doing. There are things that are out of my control, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get in rhythm with God. I'm going to get before Him. I'm going to be still and know that He is God, and let Him do the thing that I cannot do and work all these things out in my life. Now, if you would, let me show you some examples of this. We're going to start in the book of Exodus. So if you would turn back over there, Exodus chapter number 14. And as you turn there, let's talk a little bit about rhythm. There can be no rhythm without a rest. Pastor Jeremiah and I were visiting about this topic a few weeks ago, and he was educating me on music and how that even when you read music, there's a rest in there, and how important that rest is. And, you know, I don't know if I got it. I understand. I see the power of rest and recognize you got to have it. But it's vital for there to be rhythm. And we're not going to have rhythm with God. We're not going to have rhythm with our spouse if we don't understand the importance of a moment of being still, a moment of rest to make sure my next move is in rhythm. And I think that there's so many times we miss that. We get caught up in the noise of life. We get caught up in the anxiety of life. And we start letting the world set our pace and our cadence, and it's one of confusion and anxiety and distraction, and there's no harmony and there's no rhythm, and that is not how God's called us to live. And there are a lot of people living that way. When God's called us to walk in peace and biblical peace, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, is I am whole mentally, physically, and spiritually. Physically, mentally, spiritually complete. That's God's peace. That's perfect health, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. But when you got life going on all around you and you allow the circumstances of your life to begin to dictate your cadence, that's when you get out of rhythm with God. And I'm going to say this, and we're going to read this scripture. But you may not believe it, but I've seen it. I've been in ministry for a few years now. There are a lot of people that think they need to work all this out. I'm going to work all this out here out. And then I'm going to finally have me some peace. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to church. And I'm going to have a relationship with Jesus. Come on, somebody. But guess what? Never get all this out here worked out. And never have inner peace. And never find that walk with the Lord. Because it's backwards. God's called you to have peace with Him. And that's what brings peace within. And at that moment, you can have peace even with your enemies because you are whole and you're complete inside. And nobody on the outside is affecting the inside because only God is affecting the inside. And you are complete and you are whole and you're not fractured and you're not broken. And now you're not susceptible to all the mess that's going on around you in life. Hallelujah. You're not making yourself responsible for all those things. Is this fitting anybody here today? All right, watch this in Exodus chapter number 14. And we're going to see here an example of the power of being still. And let me speak to marriages right quick. My wife and I thank the Lord for my wife. I love my wife. I'm grateful. I feel like God gave me Chrissy as an extension of grace and blessing, and there's no way in this world I would ever deserve the woman that I'm married to, because she's just supernatural in every sense of the word, and that's just the way I feel about her, and I like saying that publicly, so that's what I just did, and because I want everybody to know who my wife is. It's Chrissy Lafitte McManus. She's sitting right here, and she's the apple of my eye, and she has arrested me. She got all my attention. Come on, somebody. I have been apprehended. Lord have mercy. But here's the thing. There's been times in our marriage where I felt something by either what she was saying or doing, and I thought it upon myself to make it right and to say something about it. Why'd y'all get quiet? Men, have y'all ever done that? And realized real quick that really didn't bring health to a God-given, God-blessed marriage. And so I had to learn through trial and error and listening to the Holy Spirit and reading the Word that I can't take everything I feel to my wife because she's not responsible for my feelings. And I've learned that when I pause and stop, when the enemy would have me to bring accusation or criticism against her, I've learned that when I stop and I think about it and I pray, that the Lord begins to show me my own faults, my own things I didn't handle quite right. And the next thing I know, Chrissy's acting in a way that proves the thought I had a lie. And now there's wholeness without me ever having said anything. And I think she's done the same thing for me. And I found that our rhythm with each other in marriage actually is just the byproduct of her being in rhythm with God and me being in rhythm with God, and without the ongoing fight of trying to keep her in rhythm with me or she trying to keep me in rhythm with her, that we found perfect health when we both just chose to get in rhythm with God. But in order to do that, there's got to be a rest. That means when I'm letting my mind be affected by an emotional decision, I've got to be still and take that to the Lord and not be governed by my emotions, but be led by His Spirit. And when I've done that, it's changed everything in my life, not just with Chrissy, but in life in general. But I believe life has a way of leading us to make quick, spontaneous, emotional decisions that we end up regretting. Have you ever made an emotional decision that you wish you had made? Have you ever said something you wish you hadn't said? You know we have. We say things out of the emotion. We say things out of the heat of the moment. Then we have to come back and say, oh, baby, you know I didn't mean that. Oh, yeah, you know you meant it. You know you meant it. No, baby, I didn't mean it. I was just mad when I said it. I was upset when I said it. I wasn't thinking, oh, yeah, you said it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Yes, sir, you meant it. That, no, baby, that's not an abundance in my heart. It's just something that came out. I didn't mean it. Yeah, you meant it. You ain't back in track. I got you. I know what you said. But we said things we didn't mean. We said things that weren't the true conviction of our heart because we let anxiety and fear and emotion take control, and we got in rhythm with our flesh, and we got in rhythm with our emotion, and we got out of rhythm with God. Let me say this to you. Never make an emotional decision, because that decision will be reversed by the same emotion. And we're going to talk about this even more next week. Because you certainly don't need to get in a relationship out of an emotional decision. Come on, I'm lonely. I don't want to be alone. I'm lonely. I don't want to be alone. I'm lonely. And then you mess around and end up with somebody you had no business being with because you made a decision out of emotion. We'll talk about that next week. It'll be a real good teaching next week. Mother's Day. It'll be a perfect day to bring all this up. Because you know, it's 3 days in the year everybody comes to church. Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. But what happens is we let everything that we're hearing and seeing and feeling and reading on social media, we're letting all these things dictate our emotion and our response. And God's not called us to do that. And you can't do that. No one to overcome that, rather, is for you to have a rest. So you know what? I've got to separate myself from this for a minute. I've got to pray. I've got to seek the Lord. I've got to make sure that I'm in rhythm with Him. And rhythm requires a being still. Rhythm requires a pause. Rhythm requires a rest where I stop everything, acknowledge the Lord, and then get back in step again. Take time to breathe. Take time to get back in rhythm. Hallelujah. With Him. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Now watch this in Exodus chapter 14. Let me set the stage. Here, the children of Israel have been led out of bondage. They have been led out of Egypt. And God, through mighty miracles, has used Moses to bring His people out of slavery. And I mean, He showed out when He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. I mean, they were broke, busted, and disgusted. And God brought them out healthy, whole, and wealthy. I mean, He brought them out with abundance, and when he did something huge. Psalms 105 records just how miraculous their delivery from Egypt was. But as they left Egypt and had been brought out of slavery and out of bondage, they get to the Red Sea, and there's no ferry boat. And they didn't have any boats. They didn't have transportation to get across. And they look back, and there comes Pharaoh's army. And so they got to, you know, one side's the Red Sea and the other side's Pharaoh's army. And now all of a sudden, this God that had brought them this far, they forgot. They're letting everything on the outside dictate their faith on the inside. And so watch what happens, because I think we can all relate. Exodus 14, let's see what happens in verse number, we'll start in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the enemy drew nigh. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. It's amazing how the enemy loves to threaten us, especially after great victory, and come in there and get us out of our walk with God and get us out of tune with the Lord. Happened to Elijah. Elijah stood up on Mount Carmel, had called for a showdown. He said, I'm tired of y'all being torn between two opinions. If Baal is God, worship him. But if the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is God, then worship him. He said, let's have a showdown. Let's build an altar on this mountain, and you call on your God, and I'll call on mine. And whichever God answers by fire, let's just let him be God. And the worshipers of Baal called, no reply. Elijah got up, repaired the altar, called on the name of the Lord. Fire fell down from heaven, received the sacrifice. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. Elijah had proven whose God was God, told everybody better get home because he hears the sound of abundance of rain. Done called fire down, then he called rain down. I mean, he's having a big day, y'all hear them saying to you. I mean, within 24 hours, though, Jezebel found out what Elijah had done, and Jezebel sent a report to Elijah and said, you're going to be dead by tomorrow. And Elijah went and hid in a cave and asked the Lord to take his life so that Jezebel wouldn't. Look how fast he got out of rhythm with God. When he was in rhythm with God, he called fire down from heaven. When he was in rhythm with God, he called rain down from heaven. When he was in rhythm with God, he made known to all Israel that there was only one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the moment he started listening to his enemy, he's retreating in a cave saying, Lord, take my life. Lord, take my life. That's what can happen when you let your peace come from the outside instead of the inside. There are battles that God has not called you to fight. And there are things out here that going on in the world that should not affect you internally. And if you don't ever get alone with God, you'll never get that rhythm sorted out and know how to stay in sync with God. And so the children of Israel have seen God move. They have seen His plagues. They have seen His power. They've watched him turn Pharaoh's heart. They came out of Egypt with the camels and the donkeys and the sheep and the gold and the silver and the wealth. They came out strong. They came out healthy. The word says there was not one feeble person among them. The Ten Commandments movie had it all wrong. All laid out, coming out of Egypt, looking like something broke down, laid out on stretchers. No, the word says there was not one feeble person among them. Their old had perfect eyesight. Their minds were sharp. Their bodies were strong. And they came out of Egypt in the glory of the Lord. And the moment the enemy gave his threat, they asked this question. They said, was it because there were no graveyards in Egypt that you led us out here to die? Look how fast they turned. Look how fast they got out of sync with God. Look how fast their faith turned into fear because of the threat of the enemy. And how many of you today have forgotten answered prayer, have forgotten the power of God, have forgotten the word of God, all because the enemy reared his head and made a threat on your life? That's when you have to pause. That's when you have to recognize that God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And if fear has me gripped, and if anxiety is making me doubt my God, it's time for me to be still and receive soundness in my soul and know that He is God alone. It requires being still. The plot of the enemy should drive you into the presence of God. I'm going to say that again. The plot of the enemy should drive you into the presence of God. You cannot let the plotting of the enemy make you busy. The plotting of the enemy should make you still. In other words, when the enemy's coming to me, there needs to be a stillness. At this moment, I got to be still to make sure I'm in tune with the Lord. It's like we saw last week with David. We got to see them mulberry trees sway. We got to know what the Holy Spirit's leading us to do. But in this moment, the children of Israel are so caught up with what's going on around them, they have forgotten the Lord that delivered them. And so they asked the question in verse 11. They said, well, was it because there were no graveyards in Egypt that you led us out here to die? They would rather, watch verse number 12. They said, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Have you ever had somebody tell you, I told you so? I told you so. That's what they're telling Moses. I told you so. They said, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. Didn't we tell you that? Just leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They're saying here, we'd rather lived as slaves than died free. That's what they were saying right here. They have forgotten the Lord that brought them out. Watch verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Don't be so anxious. When when we use the word anxiety or say we're anxious, it's a synonym of fear. It's a product of fear. When you're anxious, there's fear. But we also use the word anxious when we speak of someone that wants something in a hurry. Well, you might say, man, I've been so anxious lately. That means I'm nervous, I'm fearful. My mind just is, my heart's racing. It feels like I'm overwhelmed, I'm anxious. But yet, at the same time, we might tell a child that's in a hurry for something to happen, say, don't be so anxious. In other words, don't be in such a hurry. So when you look at the true bigger picture of anxiety, it conveys the person that's fearful and is moving at too fast a pace. Okay, and God is saying, you know what, listen, fear ye not, don't be so anxious. And notice what he said behind that in verse 13. He said, fear ye not, read the next two words, stand still. See, that's the answer to fear, stand still. Fear will tell you to move because Satan drives, but God will say, no, stay still. You need to stay still in this because you can't be walking to the rhythm of fear. You've got to walk by the rhythm of faith. And this circumstance is going to make you make a fear-based decision, and you don't need to make a fear-based decision right now. You need to make a faith-based decision. So the enemy has posed his threat. You stay still. Don't let the enemy dictate your life. Don't let the enemy drive you into something that he intended to destroy you. You got to be still. still and make sure I'm not being moved by fear. I'm not being moved by anxiety. I'm being moved by the faith of God, being moved by his words. So he said, fear not and stand still. Fear not and stand still. And watch what's going to happen. He said, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For, watch this carefully, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall, what, church? Hold your peace. Don't you try to fight in this battle. The Lord's going to fight this battle. You just hold your peace. You just stay still. Because if you'll stay still, God is saying, I'm going to work this thing out so well that this enemy you've seen today, you will never see again. Do you realize that the children of Israel had seen the enemy of the Egyptians for over 400 years? And God is saying that 400-year-old enemy is about to be over. You will never go back in this bondage again if in this moment you will just be still and know that I am God. How many of us have let anxiety and fear drive us to respond to circumstances that only prolong the situation, that only prolong the situation, whereas if we would have backed up, stood still, and sought God, he could have completely resolved that thing and it would not have been temporary. That's a word for somebody right there. Now, let me show you another example of this. Go with me to 2 Chronicles. Not Corinthians, Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, you'll find that in the Old Testament right behind 1 Chronicles. And I want you to go to the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. When you're in touch with your problems, you will get out of step and rhythm with God. Don't get so connected with your problems that it gets you disconnected from your rhythm with God. It's somehow we'll let issues in our life be the first thing. The first thing will go be God. I'll be out in public and Chris and I run into somebody and say, hey, Pastor James, oh man, I sure been missing church, but I've been going through some stuff. I see, you ever hear people say that? You hear people say it all the time. I know I've been missing church, but I've been going through some stuff. Well, we should have saw you more. We should have saw you more then. And I'm not just talking about church. Walking with God is not a weekly thing. It's not a Sunday, Wednesday thing, because that'd be W-E-A-K. It's got to be a daily, hourly thing, walking with God. Amen? Never leaving or abandoning his presence. Now, watch this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know, and I asked the Lord to show me. I did. I prayed. I said, Lord, show me the best example of this in the Bible. And this is the best one I could find. And I'm not saying there's not a better one, but for me, this was it. And I can't wait for you to see what the Lord showed me in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, because here's a perfect example of what happens when we think we've got to work out every enemy and address every enemy and everybody that said something, everybody that's doing something, when we got to work all these things out all around us in order to have inner peace. When you think that, you're going to live a life of confusion and disruption. And you'll never get anywhere. There'll always be issues. Your life will be loaded with them. But I'm going to show you here in 2 Chronicles 20 what happens when you say, you know what, Lord? I'm not going to fight all these battles. I'm going to get before you, and I'm going to intercede, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to let you fight these battles because you hadn't called me to fight all these battles anyway. When you talk about fighting, or you talk about a battle, or fighting a battle, or competition, there are two basic sides in conflict, the offensive side and the defensive side. I want you to see that being defensive is conflict. The Lord showed me this years ago, and I've never forgotten it, that a man that defends himself will always be average. I am not going to entangle myself in every enemy of mine to defend my case and to make sure they know who I am and that's not me and I didn't really say that and you don't know me and I'm asking, hey, what's their number? I got to let them know what they said and what they heard. That ain't the truth. You're chasing down all these lies and rumors and gossips and worried about what folk are saying about you on Facebook and why all is that. Listen, those battles, you are not called to fight. When a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace with him. There are some battles that God has not called you to fight, but you're still trying to fight all these battles that you don't need to be fighting. What's her name? Let me call her. No, you don't need to call her. You call on the Lord on her behalf. Be still. Be still. Wednesday night after church, we were here out in the foyer. My chance to visit with members and visitors and just hang out in the foyer, and a beautiful time of encouragement, strength. And Landon was standing there with me, and a young lady came by and just blessed my heart. She said to me, she said, you know, and she named all the things that she was going through in her life. She said she kept getting invited to Word of God, kept getting invited to Word of God. And she would tell people that were invited to Word of God, I'm not going to that church. There's too many people out there. How he going to be a shepherd when he don't know the sheep? And all this, that, and the other. So she said, I was a hater. I didn't have nothing to do with Word of God or you. She said, and I didn't want to hear it. She said, finally one day, a good friend of mine said, you got to go. She said, okay, I'll go. And so she came. Landon, you were standing right there. She said, from the time I walked in the sanctuary, she said, I felt the presence of God. I knew he had called me here. She ain't missed a service since she first came. And she said these words to me. She said, you would not believe my life, how it has changed mentally, physically, spiritually, financially. She said, I'm not even the same person that I used to be. She said, now, when I hear folk talk about you and Word of God, she said, wait, that's my pastor. And she said, I have become, and I never will forget, I went home and told my wife, I said, honey, I never heard this. She said, I have become a virtuous gangster. I ain't never heard that in all my life. A virtuous gangster. She said, better not nobody talk about me, about Word of God in front of me, because I know what it did for my life. Now see, I know what folks say about me. I'll have folks screenshot something said on Facebook, send it to me on a text. Did you know so and so? I don't care and don't want to know. I'm not going to go out there and contact every person that has something to say about James McManus that doesn't even know me. How are you going to represent me or represent me when you don't even know me? I would go crazy worrying about what people say about me. But what I got to do is get before him and know who I am and what he's called me to do. And if I've got peace with him, then I'm going to have peace in here no matter what folk are saying out there. And then guess what God will do? He'll do what he did in that young lady's life. He'll take the lie and put light on it and show them the truth, and he'll win the battle, and it won't have nothing to do with me. I don't have time for it. I would go slap crazy trying to be defensive of this ministry and myself to all the folk got something to say about me. They're battles that we're going to have. We're not called to fight. Amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Put the phone down. You ain't got to tell them off. Don't get in Facebook fights. It's useless. You're wasting your time. You got a bigger fight. You don't even know what's going on right down the hall of your own house with your own children because you're caught up with what everybody else is saying about your house and about your life. Don't worry about it. Some folk are never going to change. Let it go. Isn't there a song about that? Let it go. Man, I wish I could sing. I would break into that right now. Because a cold never bothered me anyway. Now watch this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You get there, say amen. Beautiful example of this. The children of Israel are surrounded by enemies in this chapter. And I cannot wait for you to see what happened at the beginning and what happened at the end, because this is relevant to our life. Watch this. We'll close with this chapter right here. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and ye inhabitants of and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. Did you see that? 2 Chronicles 20, he said, why are you caught up with what the multitude is doing when this battle is not yours? This battle is not yours. There is something that happens when we find what God had to say about our situation.
and then go back to him in prayer and say, Lord, this is the situation, but this is what you said. Therefore, the situation is contradicting what you said. Lord, I know you're not a man that you should lie. If you spoke it, you'll make it good. If you said it, you'll bring it to pass. So you're going to have to engage yourself in the situation to make it line up with what you said. But I won't fight to make your word right, not when you can do a better job of it than me. What I look like trying to fight to make God right? He's big enough to fight his own battles. He's big enough to make his own word good. My job is to know what he said and then rest in what he said. Lord, this is what you said. I rest in what you said. That's what happened when the disciples got in that boat, and Jesus in Mark 5 said, let's go over to the other side. And then they put the disciples in the boat, and then Jesus found a pillow and laid down and took a nap and went to sleep. And while they were going to the other side, this big storm came, and the boat started shaking, and the wind was blowing, and the rain was falling. And they woke Jesus up, and they said, don't you care that we are perishing? Jesus woke up and said, how can you have no faith? Didn't you hear what I said before? Before we ever got in the boat. This boat was ordained to go to the other side. I told you, we go to the other side. This storm is not an attack against you. It's an attack against what I said. I will fight this battle. He looked at the wind and said, peace, be still. Hey! You look in his word and say, God, you said in Isaiah 54:13 that my children would be taught of the Lord, and great would be the peace of my children. This storm is trying to rock this boat, but you said this was the way it would be, and let the Lord fight your battle as you rest in what he said. In every area of your life, hallelujah. Now watch this. We ain't got but one verse. Watch this. For the battle is not yours, but God's. God can change your husband better than you can. You've been trying for 3 years, and you've gotten nowhere. And now y'all are practicing divorce because he ain't home half the time. When you gonna turn it over to the Lord? And say, God, you said what you joined together, no man can put asunder. I'm going to honor him, and I'm going to honor you. But, Lord, I pray your spirit move on him to be who you ordained him to be. Because, Lord, I can't control him, but I know you can. So, Lord, you convict him, and I'm going to be what you called me to be. And you pray as a wife and say, Lord, give me the strength to be honorable and to be who you called me to be to my husband. I won his heart one time. I can win his heart again. Lord, give me the wisdom to be what I was when we was dating. I caught his eye, I caught his heart, I caught his mind. He was chasing me around. I know I did it once. You can do it again, Lord. I'm going to do the natural, but I expect you to do the super. That's a word for somebody. And let the Lord fight for your marriage. I think about that movie, War Room, where that the wife decided, you know what? I can't do this, but I'm going to go in my closet, and I'm going to be still, and I'm going to get before God, and I'm going to claim his word, and I'm going to let him fight for me. I'm just going to be still. Hallelujah. Woo. Look at your neighbor and say, be still. He said, the battle's not yours, but God. Some of y'all getting scared. Y'all at the church, ain't used to nobody hollering. It's okay. I'm not mad at nobody. Everything's all right. Don't leave. Just sit still. I'm going to quiet back down in a minute. Some of y'all getting all nervous. My God, what are you going to do? I'm preaching. It's called preaching. I'm going to preach a little bit, and I'm going to teach a little bit. I told you I'm a preacher. I get to preaching, boy, I see folk like popcorn just popping up, run out the back door. Don't be so nervous. All right, here we go, verse number 16. He said, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Read that part out loud. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Then what do I do? Set yourself. What do I do? Stand ye still. See, stand still. This is not your fight. Be still. Stay out of this. Get before the Lord. Stand ye still. And what? See the salvation of the Lord with you. Sometimes we can't even see God in our life because we're so busy looking at what's going on around us. That'd be like David when he faced Goliath. He said, I killed the lion, I killed the bear. Same God did that's going to do the same thing today. So you got to be still. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And God told him to go out in front of the enemy and to worship. Can you believe that? Watch verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers. They're going out to a fight with singers. He said, let me appoint some singers. And there were some faith-filled singers because they had to get out there in front of the army in a war singing that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Before the army. They went out before the army saying what? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. They went out before and said, we're going to stand still in this. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Somebody had a tambourine. Ching, 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 ching. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir. In other words, there were three nations gathered against one nation. But you're going to find, I'm not going to read the whole story, but you're going to find that when the children of Israel got in rhythm with God, their enemies got out of rhythm. As a matter of fact, their three enemies are going to turn on themselves and self-destruct so that the children of Israel didn't have to do anything. Now, watch this, because I'm going to close in verse number 27. And watch this, because you're going to see this message come full circle. And I'm going to close. But watch this. Remember I told you, I said, if you have peace with God, you'll have what? Peace within. And once you have that, you'll have peace where? With man. But what do we try to do? We try to make peace happen all out here, thinking that that's the only way we're going to have peace in here. And then we're going to get back to Jesus. And it never works that way. Well, look at here. In this story, they had enemies all around them, right? And God said, you know what? You be still. You seek me. And they had such peace with God that they could step out right in front of the enemy and worship him. In front of their enemy. The word says that God will prepare a table for us even in the presence of our enemies. We eating chicken. Now, when I can sit down and eat me some chicken in front of my enemy's not phasing me anymore. But if I sit down, I'm all nervous and I'm fiddling with my chicken, you know, just fiddling with the chicken, and somebody said, ain't you eat a chicken? I would eat. I'm just too nervous. I'm just too nervous. Now you can't eat. Now you have no peace. Lord, don't let me ever get that nervous. You put a chicken in front of me, I mean that chicken. Fried, grilled, barbecued. Preacher's been eating chicken ever since that one told on Peter. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard. But that's funny right there. It's true, though. Preachers love chicken. Back in the day, I said, our pastor got paid. He brought him chicken after church. But watch this. God said, you're going to have such peace that your enemy won't even phase your praise. You're going to have such peace when you'll be still that your enemy won't even phase your praise. If the enemy's phasing your praise, then you're not in rhythm with God. The enemy should never phase your praise. Tell your neighbor that. The enemy should never phase your praise.
You ain't gonna get me down. You're not gonna get me discouraged. Trying to get me all victimized and oppressed and depressed and in a mess and can't rest and living in less and trying to pass yet another test and all that other mess. You ain't doing it to me. I got to feeling sorry for myself one day driving down 3132 loop in my Ford Ranger. I got so feeling sorry for myself because I ran out of gas yet again. And I'm like, Lord, all I do is preach and trying to do what you call me to do, and I don't even have no gas in the tank. And I'm being all, the Lord corrected me and said, no, that ain't the way to. I sat there in that truck, thought about it. I said, no, this ain't the way. I got out of my truck, and I stood in front of the truck right on the side of 3132, and I started praising the Lord right there on the side of the road. I did. I'm telling you exactly what happened. And I just got there in front. I started praising the Lord, and people were driving by and blowing their horn like I'm somebody crazy. And I was out there praising God, had my hands up, and I was praising, had my eyes open. I ain't crazy. I make sure somebody can leave the road. Praise the Lord. Watching traffic, praising the Lord. And I praised him, and I remember saying these words. I said, Lord, I praise you for the day that I'll never worry about gas. See, my enemy was sitting back confused because he knew he put a hard time there. But yet right there, I got such peace that God's going to bring me out of this bondage that I'm praising him in the bondage. And I'm going to tell you what, the Lord blessed. I ain't never wanted for gas ever again. The Lord delivered me. Matter of fact, I had a lady down in Houston, Texas, give me she was an elderly woman, retired. Most of her kids had passed. And she gave me a credit card with my name. I said, how in the world did she get my name on a credit card? It was a gas card with my name on it. And she said, the Lord told me to give this to you. You so that you'd always have gas as you go and preach. I said, come on, somebody. Hey! She lived in Tomball, Texas. Her name was Hazel Kasperzak. Never will forget that as long as I live. And when she gave me that card, the Lord said, remember that day you praised me out in front of 3132? Remember the day you praised me when you ran out of gas? I marked that day right then. Hallelujah. I ain't been through nothing. That ain't nothing. I can't stand next to John the Baptist talking about that little thing. He had his head cut off. It's not like some big testimony. But it was for me because I had to learn to be still and worship God right in the middle of my trouble. Whatever that trouble is, big or small. Hallelujah. Y'all done messed around and got me so stirred up. Now watch this. I'm wrapping it up right here. Whatever verse I'm in, tell me where I'm at. 27, then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with what? With joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Now watch verse 30. Please don't miss this. So the realm, the dominion, the area, the territory, so the realm of Jehoshaphat was what? Quiet, for his God gave him what? Rest round about. Rest with his in-laws, rest with the outlaws, rest with the co-worker, rest with the neighbor, rest with the soccer mom, rest with everybody. He had rest all around, rest with enemies, rest with friends, rest with everybody. But was it that way at the beginning of the chapter? No, had enemies all around him. But what did God say with enemies all around you? He said, be still. Get in rhythm with me. And what did God do when he got in rhythm with God? He made it quiet in his territory. There was peace all around him. So how did Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel end up having peace with man? They got peace with God. And once they got peace with God, they had peace within. So much peace within that even in front of the enemy, they're like, praise the Lord for his mercy, endure it forever. Ching, 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 ching. And then one day he looked around and said, man, you know what? All them folk have left me alone. All them people are gone somewhere. All them people wreaking havoc in my life, they're not here anymore. They either converted or left. Husband now got saved. Hallelujah.
Wife walking with the Lord. Come on, somebody. Children in line with Jesus. Everything's quiet now. There's peace. There's rest because he got along with God. Look at verse 30, and I'm going to close. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest roundabout. How many of you want that kind of rest roundabout? It starts with you getting in harmony with him. With him. Don't let the enemy drive you from God. You get before him, because peace with God will bring peace within, which will bring peace with man. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for any soul here today, God, that's been distracted, that's been anxious, that's been fearful. Lord, that's been disturbed mentally, physically, spiritually because of what the enemy may be doing in their life. I pray today for peace. Peace that goes beyond all understanding. Peace that goes beyond all understanding. If you're here today, you're watching live, maybe there's some people that have risen up against you, saying things about you. Be still. This battle's not yours. Quit fighting in it. Give it to the Lord. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm giving you this. You know what they're doing. You know what they're saying. I'm tired of trying to chase down every lie to make sure they know the truth. Lord, I'm getting tired. Church, I've been there. I used to be in people bondage. Ministry was young. It was small. God used my wife to break me out of people bondage. I was in bondage to people. God showed me my life would never grow. It would never develop. You got to know his will. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature, $1 to your checking account? Quit fighting that battle. Be still. Wake up every day and ask the Lord, Lord, what's my rhythm for today? Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, that he will direct your path. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? I want to be in rhythm with you. I want to walk with you. Oh, and when you find that harmony, it'll bring such peace in your heart that you won't even care what they said on Facebook. You won't even care that things are mounting up. Psalm 138 and 8 says he will perfect those things that concern you. He will perfect those things that concern you. You give it to him, you'll find yourself, because I've seen it. You can love anybody, have peace with anybody, because you know there's not a person on this planet that can shake what God has done in your heart. You're not defined by popularity. You're not defined by fame. You're defined by a God who loves you and gave his son that you might become his child. And he knows how many hairs are on your head. And he knows what time you woke up this morning. And he pinpointed what time you fell asleep last night. And he watched you while you slept last night. And he's ordering every step. He ordered you into this place today to hear this word, because he wants your faith increased. Because he's not called you to live in anxiety and fear. He's called you to walk in peace that goes beyond your understanding, and to know his love that will go beyond your knowledge. How great is our God? You go home today and you look at them bills that you wouldn't wonder how you're going to pay. You say, Lord, I thank you that never have the righteous been forsaken or your seed begging bread. I thank you that you supply all my need according to your riches and glory. And I will not let these bills have my head. I'll do my best. I'll be honorable. I'll pay what I can. But Lord, I will not let this take my sleep. I will not let this ruin my life. You may feel lonely, like you have no friends and abandoned. But you take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you that you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And your word says that he that hath friends must first be friendly. Lord, help me to be friendly. And as I sow the seed of friendliness, Lord, please bring true friends in my life that'll get in the yoke with me and be who you've called me to be, God. Be still. Be still. Don't make anxious, quick, emotional decisions. Friday, you don't have enough money. You're not going to payday loan. That's just going to get you in worse shape. That means your next check is taken. You're going to pray and you're going to say, Lord, I need rent money. I need food money. I need deliverance. I want to see your hand today. I'm not going to make an emotional, erratic decision. I'm going to be still. Be still. Be still. Before you send that ugly email, stop. Pray, read it again. You hit the delete button. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and see my salvation in your life. Be still. There can be no rhythm till you be still for a minute. Even right now, there's a stillness. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts right now. He's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you the strength. If you're here, you're watching live, and you don't know Jesus as Savior, he's the Prince of Peace. He's ready to be your Prince of Peace. And if you don't know him as Lord, I hope you'll call out on him right now. I want to pray with you. And those watching live and those seated here, I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I acknowledge my sin, my flesh. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I thank you that you've not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Right now, I choose your peace, your wholeness. I ask that you make me complete spiritually, mentally, physically. Heal me. Heal my emotions. Heal my mind. Restore my soul. Make me whole with you and within. As I walk from this place, keep me in remembrance of what I've heard. And I thank you that as I put you first, all these other things will be worked out. They'll be added as I walk in rhythm with you. In Jesus' name.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.